given to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we're thankful for the variety of ways and means that can be done. And as we focus on the aspect of short-term missions this morning, we ask that you would give us illumination and encourage our hearts as we see how that indeed can be part of our program from each local assembly to see the gospel going forth in distant lands as well as at home. Just guide and direct, and all of it be said and done now. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start this morning by considering a couple of passages in the Word of God. And one will be in the Old Testament and one in the New. And these are examples of what I would consider short-term assistance that brought blessing to the Lord's people. The first one is in Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in these portions, but I think there are some principles that we can learn from. Verses 5 to 8 tells us of Nehemiah taking a leave of absence for a time from the king's palace to return to Jerusalem and to reconstruct the walls around the city. We know Ezra, of course, had preceded him and had been working on the temple. But Nehemiah felt called to go and work on the walls. And we notice that the wall project took 52 days, chapter 6, verse 15, and brought tremendous encouragement to the people and subsequently sparked a revival. I can relate a little bit to this occurrence because it was in 1975. I was in the service of the king, worldly king, the province government, the civil service. And I went to my employer and asked for a leave of absence, similar to what Nehemiah did. Only my project took 52 weeks, not 52 days. I basically took a leave of absence for a year and went to serve on a short-term basis on a mission field. And that revolutionized my life as far as missions was concerned. I was never the same. And I think you will hear from young people today and older ones as well how this experience that they've had in their life was similar. As they came back and became energized for the Lord in the aspect of missions and in service in the local church as well. So we see right from the start in the Old Testament, we see aspects of assistance. And we see Nehemiah going and assisting in a practical way and also in a spiritual way. We get on in chapters 3, 4, 5, and so on. We see there was great revival that took place following the building of the walls and, of course, the reconstruction of the temple. So that's an Old Testament example. Now we want to move to the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 11... just a couple of verses, 29 and 30, we read, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief, or assistance, we could say, unto the brethren who dwelt in Judea, which they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You know the story that a report had come back that the saints there were suffering, and there was going to be a famine, and there was need, and the saints then, as they were able, and I think this was probably more from a monetary perspective, but in any case, they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, who actually went and labored there with them. And we don't know what other practical things they did, but we know they served there. Then there's a little bit of a parenthesis in the scripture. We notice in the last part of chapter 11 and into chapter 12 of Acts. And then it picks up again, you'll notice, in verses 24 and 25 of Acts 12. And then it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, which was delivering the practical assistance, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, it would seem that John Mark had traveled with Barnabas and Saul on this occasion, and then, of course, no later in chapter 13, when the church in Antioch sent out the first missionaries, John Mark went with them again. So that really wasn't John Mark's first experience traveling with Barnabas and Saul, but he had been with them on this steam project, this assistance program, when they went down to Jerusalem to help the saints there. A number of significant happenings occurred in these chapters, in particular chapters 11 and 12 of Acts, I believe. In this first century, we see one of the first Gentile churches established, Acts 11, verses 20 and 21. We see them first to be called Christians, Acts 11, 26. We see them first to send help to believers in Judea, which we just read in the verses 29 and 30 of chapter 11. And they were first to send out missionaries, Barnabas and Saul, Acts 13, 1-3. So we see some firsts there from this Gentile church in the early church, or early first century. Are we being less proactive in this 21st century, 2,000 years later? Are we being as proactive as we should be, or as they were in that early church? A quick look at our current situation indicates that among North American assemblies, in relation to overseas missionary activity, there would appear to be room for improvement. Numerically, the number of commended missionaries from North America assemblies has remained static for the last number of years. Actually, there has been no real growth over the past 25 years. In global terms, the brethren contribution has declined from about 5% of the worldwide total missionaries force in 1945 to approximately 1.5% today. So we see from 5% to 1.5% decline. And we're going to be thinking or talking a little bit about some of the reasons for that. Why has that occurred? And there may be a number of reasons. Is it because the brethren assemblies have not grown in proportion to the other evangelical churches that are in North America or throughout the world, resulting therefore in a smaller population base from which to draw? So if the assemblies are not growing and numerically, then obviously we're not going to have as many people to be motivated by the Spirit of God to go. So that perhaps might be one reason. Did the previous generation fail to effectively communicate the importance and urgency of missions? In other words, has there been other focuses? Has the missionary emphasis been dying off? So we all know that there are assemblies that have virtually no interest in missionary work. You show them a copy of the prayer handbook and it's foreign to them. They don't pray for missionaries. There's very little fellowship with missionaries. So there are some assemblies in that category. They obviously are not going to be interested in promoting missionary work as far as those to go. So perhaps the previous generation has failed to effectively communicate the need. Has the impact of materialism dulled our spiritual sensitivities? And I think that certainly has happened as well. Has there been a decline in gospel outreach among home assemblies? If you're not a gospel preaching, reaching out to your own community, then you're not likely to be inspired by the Lord to desire to do it overseas. So that may be one of the problems. What about the strong growth of parachurch missionary organizations whose sole purpose is to recruit and send missionaries, thus competing with the local church? Or have we just simply lost the vision? And praise God for everyone who goes out to serve the Lord, but we know many of them do look to parachurch organizations. I'm going to suggest that it's a combination of many things as the reason why there is a decline in interest. But in spite of those reasons, there is, and we're very thankful for that, many young people are looking to serve the Lord in some international capacity. There seems to be a resurgence of interest among young people, and that certainly encourages us very much. Many brethren assemblies, however, look toward mission agencies to direct their young people to, rather than taking the initiative to organize something themselves, and that concerns us a little bit. Perhaps it's due to the packaging and structure that exists in some of these groups that have very colorful brochures and promote missionary work in a way that is very appealing to the eye. This generation does not appear to be as independent or individualistic as perhaps in the past. Groups like YWAM and some of these parachurch groups focus greatly on missions and have a very upbeat program, and it's very attractive. And there are many assemblies who will just channel their young people off to these groups and let them do all the organizing and so on. And I think that is second best, personally. I think it should be done or can be done from an assembly perspective. Those are some of the things we're going to be considering this morning. MSC Canada has for a number of years been encouraging young people to become involved in missions. To this end, a number of initiatives have been undertaken, including sponsoring missionary weekends, participating in youth rallies, hosting short-term mission projects in various parts of the world, primarily Central South America and the Caribbean. And I would say these initiatives have met with a varying degree of success. There have been many that have returned and gone back on the second and third time. There have been some who have gone into full-time missionary work as a result of these initiatives, and we praise God for that. And some have come home and become very actively involved in a missionary program in their local church, and therefore stimulating interest among their congregations. MSC Canada has always encouraged Christians from assemblies to visit mission fields, in particular elders. If you have commended someone to the field, then we certainly would encourage elders or those in church leadership to visit those particular fields and encourage the missionaries that are there. Since about 1972, we have been actively promoting short-term missionary teams, and some of those, of course, go to locations where missionaries are serving, commended from North American assemblies, and very often some people from the assembly who has commended the missionary there will say, well, I'd like to go on that team because we have missionaries there, and that works out very well also. So Over the past 10 years, North American mission organizations have seen a 45% increase in short-term work. So that's a very significant increase. Many mission organizations have seen a much larger growth than that. But the projections for the future show that the interest in short-term mission work will continue to increase. And in a brochure recently published by the IFMA, which is the International Foreign Mission Association, there are 34 different mission organizations advertising for young people to go on short-term missionary work. These are 34 what we would call parachurch or mission organizations, 34 of them advertising for young people to go on short-term missionary work. And that's exciting that there's that much interest. And we're very, very pleased about that. However, young people and adults from assemblies, we would like to see them try, if they can, to work within the assembly movement and go out with teams that are going in that regard as well. History shows that those who go into full-time service usually go out with a group with which they were first associated. So if you went with YWAM or New Tribes or one of those short-term missions, it's quite likely that as you get more involved in their network, that if and when the Lord calls you to full-time service, you will go with that mission organization as opposed to perhaps going from an assembly perspective. Not saying that that assembly couldn't commend a person to that mission organization, but again, we would encourage from an MSC perspective that they could go under the assembly banner, we might say, under the banner of the Lord, of course, but from an assembly perspective. One church leader recently declared, short-term missions is the springboard for the future, future involvement in missions, because presently 80% of missionary interest and support comes from a generation that is dying off. So what we're saying is 80% of interest has been from the older sector, my age and older. So we're excited to see young people getting interested in short-term. According to Elizabeth Lightbody, missions professor at Moody Bible Institute, the local church is a key body to encourage and commission short-term missionaries and to have them report back. That cycle will stimulate people not just to go, but to give and to pray. Short-term missionaries need to know they are the church's ambassadors for Christ. The church will get back more than it gives. So this person is saying that the initiative should be from the local church, not from the parachurch organization, that it's the local church that should be sending. It's the local church that should be benefiting from their young people and others as well that go to serve the Lord in mission situations. It's important for us to examine the reasons why short-term missions are so practical as we consider the many benefits relating to, first, the missionary that's on the mission field, and that's really the one that we're going to assist and support. Secondly, the person who goes for a short-term, that's the individual who's actually going, and, of course, the local church who commissions them. So it's a threefold blessing: the missionary on the field, the individual who goes, and the assembly that has commissioned them. And these are some of the things that we'd like to consider now as we would think of benefits to the missionary, to the individual, and to the assembly who has commended them. First of all, the benefits by supporting our missionaries in the field. For years, we have been praying and sending financial support abroad to assist missionaries. We see perhaps every 4 years or every 6 years or 10 years, depending on how often they return. But it's to a mission field that we never see. We pray for them, we send finances, we see their picture in the prayer handbook, we read of articles, but we never really see the field ourselves. Being a long-term missionary is hard. Receiving helpers from home puts a face on the prayer and a hand on the practical fellowship. You have no idea how much a visit to the field is appreciated by those who have served there for many years. Perhaps the first time anyone has ever come out to see them, and it is a very, very much an encouragement to them. It's tangible, visible human support that they need and really appreciate. It's about building family trust and enhancing relationships. As our family at home needs encouragement and spiritual support, so do those who serve in the mission field. We think of those who live, or relatives or friends that we go and encourage, perhaps who are having difficulties in their personal lives, that we go and encourage them. Well, missionaries have equally as many or more of those situations that need encouragement. And those of us that can go and to encourage them is very, very helpful to them. We live in increasingly stressful days, and everyone needs the personal support of loving friends, especially if they are prepared to come for a visit. Trying to write missionary letters, and that's wonderful. And many missionaries are encouraged by that. But we live in a day when we can acquire transportation to go to these different locations and to actually personally shake their hand and hug them and encourage them in things of the Lord. So there's a benefit by supporting our missionaries on the field. They are blessed by that. And then there's a benefit by bringing home the vision. As we go into the field with our long-term missionaries, we can see and share their vision. We can understand better, or we can talk to them and determine what it is that is motivating them and some of the battles and difficulties that they're experiencing, their hopes, their dreams, their frustrations. You can share in those. This will sensitize the home assemblies to the needs that exist overseas and deepen our commitment financially and prayerfully and personal support in other ways as well. Realizing that most folks in our home assemblies will never visit a mission field, those who do go must bring home a message to enlighten interested congregations as they give an opportunity to bring their report. I was talking to someone this morning who was saying it's wonderful to have visiting missionaries come to their assembly, but how blessed the assembly has been when some of their own young people who have been on a short-term team have been given the opportunity to bring a report to the assembly and share what the Lord has been doing and is continuing to do in the field where they have been. And some of the folks that you'll be hearing this morning will be sharing some of those things as well. But I think it's a wonderful thing when young people have that opportunity in their own fellowship, and how encouraging it is to Sunday school teachers, maybe who taught those young people as little kids, and in some cases maybe even have led them to the Lord, are now seeing them going and serving. And who knows, down the road, the Lord may raise them up to go in a full-time capacity. So it brings home the vision, and it gives the assembly the vision of how they might be used in the future. Also the benefit by bringing home the fire. This is related somewhat to this point just prior. But we see Jesus sending out the 12 in Luke chapter 5, and then we see the 70 being sent out in Luke chapter 10. The umbilical cord was cut. It was just the disciples, their faith, their Father in heaven, and the training that Jesus had given them. No experience so enlightens or heightens our appetites for the living God as your absolute dependence on Him. And I'm sure those who have gone on teams have felt a little bit anxious as to, well, how can the Lord possibly use me? But as the opportunities presented themselves and they were able to get involved, and it certainly thrilled their heart that the Lord, in fact, could use them in the ways that He had directed them there in the field. Participants come home with a newfound zeal and excitement for God. We all know when we were first saved, there was a driving motivation to tell everyone. And we were certainly on fire to give the gospel message to those that we were coming in contact with. Well, it's the same motivation that those short-termers have as they're on the field and as they come home. They come on fire for the Lord in regards to mission. And as I shared at the beginning, this was the experience of myself and my wife when we first visited, we had visited prior, but felt led to go and serve, and taking a year's leave of absence to go and get involved, and having our hearts go open as to future service, whether He would have us be there full-time, or whether He would have us come back and get involved more in the local church, or get involved in other assembly activities in relation to missions. And that was the case for ourselves. But we come back on fire for missions. And I don't know of anyone who's ever gone on a mission team or visited a mission field that didn't come back really excited and continue to promote the aspect of missions. And that's what we need more of. If we're going to see the interest rekindled from an assembly perspective, then this has to happen. And by encouraging short-term work is one of the ways that we can do that. And there's a benefit by bringing home the burden. Again, when they are there, the young people are older as well, seeing the needs, the poverty, the spiritual need, as they are there, actually visibly seeing it, they're able to close in on an understanding of what missionaries who are there all the time are dealing with, and an opportunity to bring this burden back and share it with those at home in our own backyard. Participants returning have gained their experience and will have a new eye to be able to focus on their own communities, perhaps in a day camp or backyard Bible clubs or whatever it is that effectively is used in your community to reach out to children or to others who have needs. Opportunities for involvement in local mission opportunities will not suffer because of these ventures, but they will increase. We've been pleased in the Ontario area with the number of missionary breakfasts that have sprung up. Years ago, there was one breakfast in Toronto. It was called a missionary breakfast, held on the second Saturday of November. And, I guess there would be maybe 500 people that would come to that. There was a missionary was there to give reports, and it was wonderful. And then One city after another in the Ontario, greater Toronto area, within 200 miles of Toronto. First a second one sprung up, and then a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one. And now we may only get 250 to 300 people to the Toronto breakfast, but we see in St. Catharines and Peterborough and Orillia and in Ottawa and all around the area, the interest is mushrooming, and it's exciting. And again, more missionaries are given opportunity to share and fellowship together. And that's the sort of thing that when one comes back from something like this, they get on fire. They say, well, why couldn't we do something like that? And we certainly would encourage that, and we have been very much encouraged by that happening. Also, the benefit of being obedient to what is commanded. We want to do what the Lord is commanding us to do. The bottom line is found in the Great Commission, isn't it? Matthew 28 or Mark 15, whichever. To go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And some think this verse is an afterthought of the Lord Jesus' ministry, but really it's the exclamation mark. It's the pinnacle. This was the whole point, is that we would be energized by the Spirit of God to go. And all power and authority, the Lord Jesus said, is given to me. Go ye therefore. And lo, I am with you always. That's kind of condensing it. But that's really the command. And the benefit is being obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus. And all Christians should be motivated by that. And we must go. We have no other option. Maybe some of you, if your home is anything like ours, you receive a number of magazines. And one I hope that you receive is Missions Magazine. If you don't, they're free. They're CMML in New Jersey and MSD in Canada. Usually are the ones who are responsible for the articles. Many of them, of course, are from missionaries. Obviously, all from missionaries, but from different perspectives. And I've really been excited over the last little while to see the amount of interest in the area of short-term missions. I brought three or four issues with me, and some of them are on the missionary table. This December issue, in particular, I felt was excellent. The first article is entitled Short-Term Mission Team Goes to Guatemala. And this happens to be the team that that I was able to help organize, and a number from our assembly and from Ottawa and some of the other assemblies in Ontario. But Sean and Vera O'Byrne, who serve the Lord in Guatemala, are the ones who actually wrote the article. We didn't write it, but and there are pictures of the team and so on. And then we move on to the next article, and that's one where a sister in El Salvador is involved in a Christian home for children. And you read that article, you'll see that her motivation came, and she served the Lord there a number of years, from a short-term mission team. That's how she got exposed. Then we move on to how great is his faithfulness. Sam Varghese, he and I did a seminar together back in 95, I think it was, in Dearborn. And he was promoting short-term work. And this whole article is a short-term experience and team that he went on, and he goes on lots of them. That was to India. We move on to Jason and Angela Beverly and Sarah, Jay and Sarah Maddox and Brian and Sandra McCaffrey. If you read these, every one of them went on a short-term team and are now serving the Lord full-time. I mean, that gives you an idea of the impact that this has. Brian and Sandra had opportunity to visit with them a number of years ago, and they were just newly married in Zambia. She was expecting her first baby, and now they have three children. But again, every one of them, short term, and now they're serving the Lord full time. And it's exciting to read that, those kinds of things in Missions Magazine. In the November issue, last month, perhaps you recognize it, article, an assembly's experience with short-term missions. Every magazine that that's being printed now, you'll find something in there dealing with short-term. This was not the norm years ago. This was a foreign thing, but it's happening. It's just exciting. So you know, may it be that which will continue to motivate you all as you go home to your assembly. Some of you probably. They see Focus on the Family magazine. Some of these you don't subscribe to, but they just come. And I was interested because this is a story of a girl from the Halliburton area, which is north of where we live. Not your average summer trip. It was a group from the Halliburton area that went to Venezuela. And, you know, I was thinking, just looking through the magazine, and here I see people that I know. And again, what's to talk about? Talk about short-term missions and the impact on these young lives and on their local churches when they come back. So the benefit is tremendous, personal, and to the individual who goes, of course, to the missionaries who are there, as we've mentioned, and to the assembly, the local church at home. If your assembly's dead in the area of missions, well, if you can get some of your young people to go and come back all excited, I guarantee you that your assembly will come alive in regards to missions. Respond to some questions that I will put to them, and then they are open to questions that you might have from them. And if you folks would like to just turn your chairs around, maybe just move them across in here. These are primarily folks who were on mission teams over the last little while. These four in front of me were on teams last summer, and the brother on my extreme right, your left, was a little more mature, and he and his wife have been involved in the past and continue to be very interested in missionary work. And I'm going to ask if they would share. First of all, they can give their names, where they did a short-term team experience, and then respond to the particular questions. Now, I'm going to take this mic off here and just pass it down. We'd like this to be captured on tape. Don, we're going to start with you. I'm going to start with Don Steele, and the question that we're going to be asking him, and we're going to be asking each one as they move along, first of all, how he, in this case, he and his wife, felt the Lord used this experience to enhance his own personal life, the work that they were somewhat involved in the location, how he feels the assembly life back home benefited from that when they returned, and the impact it had on the Christians to where they were actually serving. So there are really three questions there, dealing with their own personal involvement, the blessing to the missionaries that were there, and how it has enhanced his spiritual life in relation to the assembly. And then we're going to move down the line and each one respond to that. Don?
Thank you, Kirk. My experience was in St. Kitts in the winter of 1995, and Kirk was the team leader, and we spent two very busy weeks building a new sidewalls in a chapel. For me personally, it was a real eye-opening experience in terms of how assembly Christians live and worship and work in other cultures. And the whole experience opened up avenues and concepts of service that perhaps I had never considered before. When I came back from that 2 weeks, I was infected with enthusiasm and persuaded my wife that we should go back. And we went back to St. Kitts and worked for another 31 months on the field, and really had a post-secondary education in cross-cultural affairs. You have to understand that when you're in a foreign country, the people are different, their backgrounds are different. They were racially different because probably 96% of the people in St. Kitts originated in Africa and were brought into the Caribbean to work on sugar plantations. And so down through the centuries, it's a different culture. And you have to be very sensitive to the feelings and the attitudes and the ways of people who have a different background. I don't know exactly how this has affected our local assembly, except that they have continued to have a good interest in missions. We distributed $8,000 to missions work just prior to Christmas, and continue to support missionaries and as well as other works like Family Bible Hour. I don't know if I covered all that, but I talked long enough.
All right. Well, we'll just pass this on to Scott Nordstrom now, and he can share. He's from Nebraska. He's the U.S. Part of this panel, and we appreciate his support.
Well, I've had a mission burden for many years, and I always just sat around waiting for someone to step forward and say, we're going on a mission trip somewhere, who'd like to go, and no one did that. So this last year, I thought the Lord burdened me to be the one to step forward. And since I had not had any experience with short terms, I had contacted Kirk Capri in Canada and asked if he could give me some information that maybe we could hook up with him. And then I made an announcement to the assembly about this time last year that I was purposing to go, and if there'd be anybody else willing to go, I would become the team leader. And no one stepped forward at the time, and then I finally said, okay, by a certain, even a couple months to think about it, by a certain day, I need to know who would be willing to go with. And at that time, we had five or six interested, and I wound up, four of those went from our assembly, and I was in contact with another assembly, and we wound up having six that was willing to go forth. And my burden was that the assembly really be behind us in all this. It wasn't just Scott's desire to go and I was going to go on my own, but I felt scripturally it was the assembly that had to be with us. And so I was encouraging the elders to make it a matter of prayer during the prayer meetings, and that one Sunday we would take a special offering specifically for the missions team. And it was neat to see during that offering that we figured it would be about $1,000 per person. And we come from an assembly that's maybe about 50, 60, so it's not real big. But the Lord provided $3,970. You're like $30 short, and the elders threw in the extra $30. So it wound up the assembly paid for the whole trip, which was neat to see. I mean, that was an answer to my prayer. And so I made little prayer cards to fill in the refrigerators when we left, that they'd be praying for us. And then what was neat on the way back, coming off the airplane, and we were able to contact our folks in the middle of the 2 weeks. And on the way back, we had half the assembly at the airport with balloons and everything welcoming us back. I mean, it was a really emotional time. We all come out and everyone's crying and shedding tears. I mean, it was really neat to see the assembly was behind us. But some of the benefits I experienced personally was that it encouraged me to think globally in reaching the world for Christ. Whether I am going, whether I can give, whether I pray, or whether I actually go. But in particular to those areas that do not have the abundant churches that America or Canada has, or the bookstores, or the Christian radio stations, or Bibles, to go to those areas where they don't have those spiritual contacts. And so that was my burden, and that helped me just to see some of these countries are not as blessed as we are here in North America. And also just to sharpen my focus for eternity. What am I spending my time on? You live with a missionary for a couple of weeks, and you know, they're not popping in video games and watching TV 4 hours a day. I mean, they are spending their time for eternity. And so it was neat to live in that environment to see what their focus was, what are they pursuing, and what are their interests in. And so that influenced me to see some areas where I could grow in. So when we came back, I had maybe two other brothers that went with us, and three guys, three gals. And I had videotaped while we were down there. So that Sunday when we came back, the elders allowed us to take the whole meeting and just share the videotape. The other brothers got up and shared what the trip meant to them. And so in all, I was really blessed to see the assembly sent us and received us and allowed us to share the report once we got back. And it was a neat experience. So Lord willing, I'm praying about this next summer, what the Lord would have me to do if he would have us go on another one. So.
My name's Robin. I was on the same ship as Scott this past summer in Honduras. The most important thing that I learned on my trip was when I came back, I had a much clearer idea of how missionaries worked and how the mission field was. We had the opportunity to live with missionary David Dominguez down there for 2 weeks, and we worked in a school and a community and daycare centers and such. And like Scott said, they spend all day working in the community and schools and clinics and everything. It was amazing to see that because you can read missionary articles and read about it, but it's so different to actually see it in the right there. and actually helping out with the kids. A big thing down there, they speak Spanish, and I don't speak a word of Spanish, and not very many people on Edson did, and it was amazing how we could actually communicate with the kids and work with them and help them and teach them games like stuffed up geese and such without even speaking their language, and that was amazing. Also, when I got back, I had the opportunity to share my experiences with my own assembly at a prayer meeting. We did announcements with other young people. And also, I participated in a panel discussion at a missionary conference at an assembly in the same city that I live on a youth emphasis right now. It's great to share my experiences and possibly encourage other young people to go on short-term trips. And it also increased my interest in missionary conferences and magazines, and we now know how to specifically pray for missionaries and their work down there. And also I have a free semester off, and I'm actually looking into other missions opportunities to for other places, not necessarily back to Honduras, although that would be good too, but possibly to other places, and then a lot more aware of how it works, and that was the biggest thing that I can do from that trip.
My name is Sarah Day, and I also was on the same trip with Scott and Robin. I benefited, Chris' question to me was, how did I benefit personally? And there were a number of ways, actually. Kirk mentioned this before. Often it's easy to say, well, I couldn't possibly go. I don't have anything to offer. And this was a great opportunity to see that, yes, the Lord can use me. And it was really encouraging. And one of our other team members mentioned to me, you know, the Lord's been working in our lives many years before this up to this point. And a few examples of that were, I took Spanish, not because I thought I would be able to use it on a mission, on a short-term mission trip one year, but just because I love languages and I knew French, and I thought, well, why don't I just learn Spanish? Well, it came in handy this summer on my trip. I was able to use it. And another thing was I play the flute, and they gave me many opportunities at the assemblies and the camp to play my flute. Another way I benefited was it was a really good opportunity just to get out of my North American mindset, just to be immersed in another culture. Here we seem to be really regimented as far as time and schedule and have to be here, point A to point B, you know, and get everything done. And there it's more laid back and plans change left, right, and center. And it was a really good opportunity just to go with it and trust the Lord and just let Him work the situation out. Another way I benefited, I found it really encouraging to learn that Honduras has over 200 assemblies, and I think it's easy to have the mindset of us and them, like we're going down to help them, and yet it was amazing to see the national workers there as well, over 200 assemblies going strong there. That was a real encouragement. As far as how God is using this experience to enhance my service at home, I'm really blessed that I attend an assembly where there really is a burden for missions, and it's really helped me just to be more aware of missionary news and use the prayer handbook, and also, as others have mentioned, just to be able to pray very specifically for the Dominguezes and for other full-time workers that we met down there. And how the missionaries benefited from our time with them. In a way, at times I felt bad. I thought we were a burden to them because we were such a large group. We were, I think, 11 of us all together. I felt bad that they had to transport us around and feed us all, but they seemed to really get a charge out of it, and especially, I think, because they're a group of young people, they seemed to be very encouraged by it, and just the good laughs that we had in the Canadian-U.S. rivalries sort of gave them a good laugh, too, I think. My name is Marissa Prenzler. I'm from Whitby, Ontario, and I go to Rosamond, who's one of some of these characters. And it was this past July for a few weeks that I went to Guatemala on a on our mission trip, and it was a group of about 10 of us, I believe, and we stayed with Sean and Vera O'Byrne. I guess to start, I wasn't quite sure why I was going, except that I wanted to be available for the Lord's use. As mentioned by Robin, they spoke Spanish there, and I don't speak any Spanish, and so I didn't know how he would use me, or I thought maybe someone else should go in my place because, I mean, someone who was more suitable. But I've been learning that the Lord does use you not because you have something to offer, but because he's chosen, because he has chosen to, basically, and that by his grace he did use me, and I don't know all the details of the ways that he did, but it's exciting to be able to trust in that, and to realize your weakness in having something to offer, but realizing your strength in Christ. And I do think that we were a big encouragement to the O'Byrnes as the Canadian missionaries who are new, fairly new to the field. This is their fourth year, I believe, there, and they don't know the language as well as they could. Sean's doing very well. I know that they're struggling with the language, and so I think it was a big comfort to them to have some Canadian friends visiting, and even though we don't know them or we didn't know them before, we were able to get to know them very well, and we all had that one bond in common, of course. And I do think that it was a comfort for them to just have us there as people to share their struggles with, and it did give me a little bit more of an understanding of the reality of the situation as the missionary, just the struggles that they must go through, and we have struggled here in North America, but I didn't realize what it would be like to go to a foreign place, to start fresh in a new culture and to be there for such a long time. I'm sure that it gets overwhelming and maybe depressing sometimes and discouraging, but we were able to comfort them that way. And now we do know how to pray for them a little bit better. And also for me, it's exciting because the Lord has been shaping the way I think about missions, and he's showing me, I believe, that he'd like me to be doing that eventually, possibly. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I know that the Lord uses regular people for his good pleasure and for his glory, and that's exciting. And also for my home, I don't know exactly how I've encouraged our assembly, but I do know that my dad now is looking towards doing a short-term mission trip as well, which is something that he didn't think of before, but he too is learning that just that the Lord uses regular people for his work. And so I would please even be used to do an encouragement that way as well. And I look forward to him meeting me and where he would like to use me next, and in being encouraged by some others go forward as well.
Thank you,
Melissa, Sarah, Robin, Scott, Don. Perhaps you have a question in regards to what they have said. Or if you do, then put up your hand. Maybe you could stand and just, and I'll repeat the questions that will get on here. The question to Scott is how, and perhaps to the others, how did you know you were going to Honduras? Here, I'll give you the mic, Scott.
No, for me personally, I was working with Kirk, and he had a list of different trips. And initially, I was going to go to Guatemala if it was just myself. They had room for one or two people. And I wound up there was enough interest. We had six of us lined up going, which was too much because they already had some of the previous commitments and wound up going to Honduras. So I personally was not particular as to what country we visited other than I wanted to go somewhere and it had to be in the summer. So, and Kirk had that list, which then I could kind of work through and pray about and kind of leave it up to the Lord as to where we wound up going. So it was Honduras. And then we met the Canadians. It was a good trip. It was fun.
perhaps I could help as well in that response. MSC does published lists. We put a brochure out each year, and on a table just around the bend in the foyer, you'll see the short-term mission teams for 2002. Now, since September the 11th, a lot of interest has fallen off, and I'm sure that will be rekindled, but there's just uneasiness about flying and so on and so forth. So we have a bit of a disclaimer in this brochure saying that, you know, if there are further, and we were printing this around September or October, if there are further problems, then, you know, all teams may be canceled. We didn't know what the future held. There are a number of teams on track, and what we really encourage, and what I was saying earlier, was we'd like individual assemblies to do this, not necessarily MSC or CMML. We do not want to become like another parachurch sending organization. We want the local assembly to do it. And I have a handout that's on the table here called Guidelines for Short-Term Teams, and it's really what I sent Scott. And it's a how-to type thing that you can take to your own assembly and you can organize your own team. That's what we want. We simply do it to encourage assemblies to see how it's done. And each year we poll the Canadian missionaries and say, do you have any projects that you could use a team for? And that's listed in here as well. And they're all in the Shape Our Handbook. And if you see that there is a need for English as a second language, or you see that there's a short-term need for a nurse or school teacher or something like that, then get in touch with them and say, hey, I've read this, and do you really need help? And, oh, yes, yes. I could come, or we got a team that could come, depending whether it's a team project or individual project or two people that are needed. You just need to communicate, and that's what we want to happen. But we do publish this to encourage individuals and assemblies to get introduced, you might say. But the long-range plan is that assemblies do it, and it's not hard to do. Perhaps another question. Yes. Yes, there's a question here is from a practical aspect. Before you go, are you told what needs to be done and so on? And that's all addressed in here. What you have to do to find out if you need a visa, a work permit, do you need shots? Now, you'd have to go, you can get that on the internet, actually, most of our information. You know, certain areas, do you need malaria? I'm going on a team to Belize in about a week, and I was there, in May, and I never even thought about malaria, but apparently there are malaria mosquitoes in Central America, and they're saying, well, it's probably best to take chloroquine or whatever. But usually if you go to a healthcare or a travel clinic at a hospital, they can tell you the areas where you need shots and so on. But most of the equipment will be here. And if it doesn't have the specific information, tell you where you can get it, that sort of thing. Maybe a personal question, not too personal, but a question regarding any of those experiences any of the groups you had. Yes?
Yeah, how long did it take to set up?
Is this directed to Scott? I'll give him the mic.
Well, when I made the announcement, I think it was in January or February, and we were purposing to go in July. And so my goal was to have a meeting once a month with the people that were going to go from the Omaha, Nebraska area. So it was like the first Friday, I think it was really picked Friday of the month. We'd come over for a meal, and we'd talk about some of those things, health issues, do's and don'ts, what not to eat, what shots you have to get, your passports need to be sent in here, then a time of prayer. And so we got together like three or four times. We had different issues to discuss. We gave our testimonies one meeting, what makes an effective testimony. You only have 2 minutes or maybe you have 10 minutes. And so that was good. We critiqued each other what we could have brought out a little more to make it more effective. And we wound up using those then down at the day camp. They had a bilingual day camp, so the kids were there that could speak English. And so our team was able to share our testimonies around the fire. So the Lord used that training, if you will. So I had probably three meetings once a month ahead of time and coordinating with a different Canadian group and with Mr. Dominguez what we had to take and prepare for. So I wanted to stretch it out a little bit and keep the assembly really involved and plugged in and take advantage of us being focused for some time on this, because it seemed to help us spiritually stay on track and to keep our focus. So know if that answers your question or not, but you wouldn't have to do that, I don't think, but that, I chose to go that route.
Again, in here, it shows you what you need to do 4 months before, what you need to do 3 months before, what you need to do 2 months before, what you need to do 1 month before, and all that sort of thing. So it kind of breaks it down, because there's a lot of little things, but after done it a time or two, it's not that difficult. And we're available on by email or phone. MSC is willing to assist any group or anywhere, not just in Canada, but in the States, the small world we're living in now. And if we can give any assistance to you, like I say, I have copies of these, any of you that want, we can pick up. Also the short-term brochure. We've kind of focused on some specialized teams this year. We've found by experience that if you go strictly with volunteers, sometimes it falls flat. We've had teams where people are going to go, and if they're young people, things come up, other opportunities, jobs, and then all of a sudden they don't go. It's like trying a bus to come here. You know, one time the bus is full, and then it's got empty seats, and then they're going to come, and right before you leave, they want an office room. It's kind of hairy trying to do a volunteer-type team. So what we've done this year is if we put the team, a team there that's going to Africa to drill some wells, and these had to be people who knew what they were doing. We've been getting experience. MSC bought a well-drilling rig, and we've been training on it, and we're going to Africa to do that. So we had to handpick those people. So that's not really advertised in here, because it was a handpicked team. And some ministry teams, maybe an island once a week or evangelistic services, but you may have to get a couple of preachers to go. You just can't wait for a volunteer or somebody that maybe isn't gifted in that area. So, you know, so we do have what we call specialized teams as opposed to volunteer teams. And they are listed here, and if any of you are interested, I'd be glad to hear from you.